I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our special guest, Dan Harari. His book is called After They Came. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Dan, you were talking about your trip to James Gilliland's ranch in the state of Washington. I'll let
That's
you finish
right.
that up.
Exactly right. So, again, to just to recap it a little bit, he had given a lecture at MUFON LA about his ranch and showed very convincing videos and films of UFOs in the sky there. So I took a girlfriend and I, we spent the three-day weekend there. This was the 4th of July weekend, 2008. And again, during the days, there were guest speakers and films and slideshows and things. And then at night, George, they built a bonfire in the field there. And people, men and women, would be dancing around the bonfire, playing guitars and playing tambourines. And believe it or not, in 08, I still had one of those heavy video camcorders, you know, the heavy ones with yeah. the VHS tape. So, you know, they weighed, what, 8, 10 pounds. So I had that on my shoulder, and we're looking up in the sky the first night, Friday night. We're for hours and hours, and we're looking up in the sky. Nothing happened. Okay, that's fine. The next day, Saturday, same thing. Lectures, guest speakers, seminars, all those things. The Saturday night, the bonfire, the guitars, the tambourines on my camcorder on my shoulder. We're looking up hours and hours into the sky. Nothing. And I'm getting a little nervous, like, you know, I don't think this is going to happen. The third and final day was a Sunday. More lectures, films, and seminars. Build the bonfire. I have the camcorder. I said to my girlfriend, I go, Barbara, I go, you know what? If we leave early, we can beat the traffic, because there were probably 300 cars there. No sooner, George, did I say that than out of absolutely nowhere, I'd say a medium-sized craft, maybe 50, 60 feet long, appeared above our heads from out of absolutely nowhere. It was like a black teardrop-shaped craft. It was very dark, but it was directly over our heads. And then the most amazing thing ever happened to one of the most amazing things in my life. Under the craft, a very bright, dark emerald green light came on under the craft, bright as bright could be. It was the color like from the Wizard of Oz, Emerald City. And it flashed on and off above our heads maybe a dozen times, on and off, on, as if to say, hello, we're here. We love you. We know you've been waiting for us. Mm-hmm. We're in the neighborhood. We wanted to say hello. And then, George, that thing, it just took off. It vanished. Phew, it just took off. I cried. Everyone there cried, hugging, kissing, dancing, singing. It was a profound moment in my life. And I can still feel in my heart the warmth and the loving feeling that I got from whatever that was. And I'm telling you, that was not a man-made craft. That was not man-made. That was them.
No wonder you can get addicted to UFOs.
Yeah. When you have an experience that touches you, I mean, I honestly feel that I've become, since that experience, I've become a warmer person, a more open-minded person, more caring person. I was maybe more selfish than before that happened. I feel dramatically changed as a human being because I had that experience. And what I would tell people, young people now out there, you know, don't look at your phone all the time. Don't look down at your phones. Maybe take an afternoon and look up sometimes. You know, you never know what
you're going to do. Look up. That's right.
Yeah.
What do you think of these balloons that we claim that we have shot down over the last several months?
All right. So I have a very strong opinion about this. Thank you for asking me that one. Okay. In February, as we all know, there was a Chinese, man-made Chinese balloon that flew over the United States.
That's right.
Saw it on TV every night.
And one may have just done it over Hawaii today, too.
I just heard that shortly. Yeah. I heard that a few hours ago. Yeah. God, I wonder what that was.
Crazy.
Well, the one that flew over the United States was clearly man-made, and our government said it was Chinese. And I don't know about you, but I saw them on CNN. I saw them fishing it out of the Atlantic Ocean. I saw, you know,
yeah.
That was shown. Okay, fine. Chinese man-made balloon fished out of the ocean. Okay, that's fine. We know it was man-made. The week later, as you know, George, and most of your listeners probably know, 3 days in a row, February 10th, 11th, and 12th, 3 days in a row, the American military shot down UAPs. The first one was over Alaska. The second one was over Canada. The third one was over Lake Huron, 3 days in a row. The pilots reported the first one as being the size of a car, of a small car. I believe the second or third one was cylindrical. And for whatever reason, the media and even President Biden, I watched him on TV, balloons, balloons, balloons. Well, you know, yeah. Well, the China balloon, and yeah, the other three, yeah, were probably balloons. I don't think so. I think the other three were remarkable craft. And, George, they've never shown us the debris. They've never shown us the video from the pilots that shot them down. I'm sure there was video of the pilots shooting these.
And you know they've recovered this stuff.
Of course. Yeah, that's another thing. People say, oh, you know, they probably couldn't have recovered it. They got the China balloon out of the Atlantic Ocean. As far as I know, the Atlantic Ocean is pretty deep. They couldn't get at least one or two of or three of the other three. Of course they did. They got them. President Biden went on TV and said, you know, yeah, there's been a lot of balloons going on, and you know, the China balloon. And you know, and then the one over Alaska, I saw him do this. He said the one over Alaska, we believe, was a balloon hobby group out of Montana. And, you know, and the other ones were probably balloons as well. George, you know, a good magician does a magic trick and has the audience looking at his right hand.
That's right.
Meanwhile, he's doing the magic with his left hand. And I felt that way. And, George, I was watching President Biden, who I actually admire, and I was thinking, come on, Joe, you can do this. You can do this. All you have to say right now to the world, Joe, is just say we believe these three UAPs may not have been man-made. That's all he had to say. May not have been man-made. Those few words, he would have become the disclosure president, and so many wonderful things could have happened. But he said, no, it was balloons, balloons, balloons. I don't believe they're balloons. A lot of people in ufology that I've been meeting the last 3 months, nobody believes that those were balloons.
But you're right, it has been very quiet after they went down.
Yeah, and you know, where's the New York Times? Where's CNN? Where's even Fox or MSNBC? Where are the major outlets? Why don't they go, Mr. President? Okay, here's the thing. That's 2 months ago, almost 3 months ago, Mr. President. You know, what happened to those UAPs? Or here's the thing, George. A few weeks ago, as you know, Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick did a talk.
That's right.
Senator Gillibrand. And I watched it, and I was waiting for him. I'm like, come on, ask him about the UAPs. Just ask him, you know, did we recover the UAPs? Have they been studied? Do you know what they're... Not one question, George, not one question about three UAPs that had just happened a few weeks ago. Why aren't the media or our politicians following up? There's no follow-up. China balloon, China balloon. These other three were not China balloon. So I'm very, very annoyed and upset about that.
You know, these other three objects could have been UFOs following the Chinese balloon.
Imagine? Could you imagine? Wouldn't that be something? Yeah. I mean, whatever they were. Now, if they were Chinese or Russian, I believe our government would have said, these were Chinese or Russian. Some people I've heard said, well, maybe they were our own craft. I don't think our military is going to shoot down our own craft. That's a stretch to me.
Not intentionally, at least.
Right, right. Although whoever runs the UFO cover-up black ops out of Washington or with the descendants of Majestic 12 or whoever it may be, perhaps they just fly willy-nilly and didn't tell anybody else. I personally, just in my heart, I can't believe that those were man-made objects. We shot down three extraterrestrial craft, and nobody, including our president, had the courage to tell us about it.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
As a publicist, who would you say, Dan, has been some of the most influential people in Hollywood dealing with UFO movies and things like that?
Oh, well, my buddy Steven Spielberg would certainly come to mind. I actually had the honor of meeting him at an event in 2010. And
it's a genius.
Just a remarkable guy. Let me tell you about that, if I can. In 2010... Universal Studios had a rededication of their back lot because in 2008, the back lot had been destroyed by a fire. So in 2010, there was a big press conference. I was one of the publicists for that. Arnold Schwarzenegger was the governor at the time. He was the guest speaker. And Steven Spielberg was the other guest speaker. And George, we had media from all over the world. It was unbelievable. Like, it was like the Oscars. And it's just tons and tons of press. And they cut a ribbon, you know, they reopened the back lot at Universal after the fire. After that, all this press this huge line of press. Arnold, 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 Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold, over here. Arnold, can we talk to you? Arnold, Arnold, Arnold. Everyone there, George, wanted Arnold. I'm standing there next to Steven Spielberg. No one else, George, no one else was even looking at he was literally standing in a shadow like he was shy. He wasn't talking to anyone. I'm like, there's Steven Spielberg and me. So I went up to him. Now, this is a funny story. Steven's late mother, Leah Adler, had a kosher dairy restaurant a block from my house, literally a block from my house. It's called the Milky Way. And when my mother used to come to town to visit me in L.A., my mother and I would have lunch with Leah Adler at the Milky Way many times. And she'd sit with us and tell us, my Steven did this, and my Steven did that. And she would regale us with stories about her Steven. So I went up to Spielberg in 2010, and as I'm walking up to him, I'm like, what do you say to Steven Spielberg? Schindler's List was a masterpiece? Okay, he knows that. I loved E.T.? All right, he knows that. Jurassic Park was scary? He knows that. I go up, I go, Steven, my name is Dan. I said, your mother makes the best blintzes I've ever had in my life. And George, he took my hand and he goes, you know what, you're right. She does make the best blintzes, doesn't she? And Steven and I had a moment, and that's when we bonded.
I mean, he came up with some great UFO movies, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, E.T., just remarkable work.
Close Encounters, I watch that movie once or twice a year. I just saw it again 2 weeks ago. And George, every single time, I've seen it, I figure at least 50 or 60 times, honestly.
Where's Dreyfus, by the way? He hasn't been in a movie in a while.
Boy, that's a good question. That's a really good question. When I
is he okay health-wise?
I don't know. I don't know. I do know that, I don't know if I should say this, I do know that Jack Nicholson is not doing well.
No, I heard that.
Yeah, I have a client who's one of his best friends.
Do you know Michael Levine, the publicist?
I know who he is. We've crossed paths.
Yeah, he's a good guy, too.
Yeah, but Steven, yeah, with Close Encounters, I mean, every time I watch that movie, I cry at the end. It's so wonderful and so imaginative. I love when Dr. J. Allen Hynek, you know that when he's there with his pipe.
Yep, the real one, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, he was in that movie. I recently met Paul Hynek at Alien Con.
Paul's a great guy, his son, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you met Jacques Vallée?
No, I've not.
He is the one where, in the movie Close Encounters, the French guy, Lacombe,
right,
played his part, basically.
Right, right. Earl Grey Anderson is reading, I think is it Jacques Vallée's something, Volume 5, or some book that he just put out recently that's supposed to be the ultimate book on the history of ufology.
He does a great job. Well, let's take some time to talk about After They Came. It's a novel, but set us up. What's it about?
Okay, so when I came up with this premise, I wanted to do something with benevolent aliens and a lead character who discovers that his late father was involved with UFOs. That's what the germ that came into my brain. So I came up with a guy. I based this guy on myself, but like in opposite land. Like this guy turning 70 years old, the lead character in the book. His name is Jonathan Tuckerman. He lives in Los Angeles. He has a business that's failing. His children don't speak to him. He's unlucky in love. And he decides to commit suicide on his 70th birthday by swimming out to the sea in Alpha Malibu. He goes to Malibu, takes a swim to kill himself. That's the opening of the whole book. He just wants to die. And George, as he's drowning, an enormous UFO comes up from the Pacific Ocean right above him, a huge, enormous, beautiful diamond-shaped craft, multicolored, beams him on board, slowly then hovers over all of Los Angeles and arrives at Dodger Stadium. There, it's met by media and police and fire trucks and ambulances, military vehicles, because they've been following this craft across Los Angeles. And at Dodger Stadium, two magnificent, tall, white, Nordic, beautiful aliens, 7 feet tall, male and female, slowly and gently beam down to the earth. Long white hair, pale skin, blue eyes, shimmery robes, and they say, "People of Earth, don't be afraid. We're here to help you. We love mankind. We've been coming to Earth for tens of thousands of years. We helped your civilization advance. We are your allies. We want to help you cure your insurmountable problems. And then they point to the guy that they just saved out of the Atlantic Ocean. They beam him down, and he's naked and flopping around like a fish. And they say, believe it or not, we have a relationship with this man. This man is our conduit to mankind. We are going to work solely through him to cure your problems. So any problems you have on the earth, go to this guy. He's going to be our your ambassador to us, and we'll use our technology to help you. The beautiful aliens get on the ship. The ship vanishes. This guy is lowered down to second base. And now he's the most famous man in the world. He's been on live global TV because of his craft and these aliens. And everyone goes, who are you? Who the hell are you? And he goes, I have no idea what's happening. I don't know. They take him to the White House. He meets the president. George, when I first wrote the first draft of this book, 2017, Oprah Winfrey, there was a rumor she was going to run for president. You might recall that.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So when I was first writing the outline, I thought, you know, what if Oprah Winfrey was the president? She's such a warm, wonderful person, and everyone loves her. So I based my president on Oprah.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.